Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We truly do thank God for such another awesome, wonderful day. There's never another one like it, okay? This day will be the only one like this day. So give God the praise, the glory, and the honor. So good morning to you, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I would like to say good morning to my beautiful, wonderful, precious, loyal, what else could I say about her this morning? My co-host, the love of my life when it comes to taking care of me and letting me take care of her, none other than Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, Ver Precious. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, my love. Good morning. How are you? It's so wonderful to hear your voice. Thank you for all the accolades that you give me. So you already know I was smiling real hard. You could see it through the phone. I know you could.
Yes, I could. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Well, saints, we do thank the Lord for you today. And my roll call, got to do the roll call, praise God. So I want to say good morning to Tamika, to her mom, Joyce, and her husband, Lester, to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, Teresa, Pennsylvania, praise be unto God, to Joyce in New York, God bless you, woman of God. God bless you, to Deacon Thomas Farr, who is improving. You remember he was sick last week as well, dealing with COVID. He is coming along much better. His wife has come along as well. She had it. So we want to thank God for them. Praise be unto God. To Denise in Pennsylvania, again, praise God for you all. To all of our listeners from the Prophetess Kim, I don't know if I said her, I think I did say her and Dorn. I just want to thank all of you once again for being here with us. All of those that are from New Vision, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. All of you in our listening land, we truly do appreciate you being with us today. Beloved, you have something you wish to say this morning.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say good morning again to each and every one of you guys. Again, we thank you for joining us every Saturday. We really, we truly appreciate the time that you spend. You could something else, you know, but you choose to dial in and listen to what God has laid on our hearts to share with you all. And, you know, we dedicated this show to our Father. And so this is his platform, and we just allow him to have his way. And so we just want to give God glory, because without him choosing us, there wouldn't be a heart-to-heart show. Well, at least we wouldn't be the host of the show. So we just want to give God glory, because we know that he is in control, and we know that he is a part of this show. And we just want to thank him for just all the downloads that he gives us. Amen. Beloved, you still there? If we can't hear you, if you're saying anything.
Yes, honey, I certainly was saying something. My phone
okay.
Was muted. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. Amen. Amen. Well, while you are on the phone with us, praise God, on the phone with us. Of course you're on the phone with us. why don't you go ahead and open us up in prayer? I tell you, our line is hopping this morning. A lot of people are calling in already, you know, and we are so grateful for it. So keep it going. Don't forget, while we're getting lined up here, go ahead and send a text to somebody, send an email to somebody, and tell them to join us today as we speak on the God-given gifts and the characteristics of the Exalter. Amen, amen. Beloved, you may go ahead, sweetheart.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your marvelous name, O God. Jesus. We give you praise and we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your holy name, for there is none like you, O God. And we just say thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. Thank you for keeping us in your perfect peace, O Father God. Thank you, Lord, for whatever you're doing in each and every one of our lives, O God. And, Father, we know that things that we are walking through, some of us had to walk through dark places, but your light allowed us to see our way through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. For there is none like you, O God. And your word says to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. So I pray that his glory will be seen upon you. But whatever it is that you're going through, let his light shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine bright so that that darkness can go the opposite way. And so we know that the things that are going on around us, the things that we see on the news, the things that people are sharing, yes, 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 some of that stuff is dark. But remember that we have God's marvelous light, and that light can pierce that darkness. So just allow his light to help you, to guide you, to direct you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. I thank you for every person on this line. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in their lives even now, Father God. I thank you, Lord, because you know their cries, you know their prayers, oh God. You know their concerns and situations. You know their trials, oh God. You know the storms, God. You know the giants they're facing, God. You know the mountains that need to be moved out of their way, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord, for showing up even now, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. I just thank you, Lord, that you are right there with them, Father God. Just allow, Lord God, allow them to know that you have not left them nor forsaken them, and that you hear them, you see them, you know them, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And that problem, that situation, that concern is not greater than you, because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is Holy Spirit power. So Holy Spirit, have your way on this show.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have your way, have your way, have your way, Almighty God, and have your way in the lives of your people on this line today and in their families, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for chains being broken in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for entanglement, oh God, from the enemy, Father God. I thank you that they are destroyed now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for a spirit of freedom on this line, Lord God, like never before. So for anyone having any mental attacks, anyone that feels like they're oppressed right now or depressed or whatever, God, I pray that be lifted up off of them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because we're calling
Lord.
On you for help. So lift it now and let it go. In Jesus' name, we love
in
you.
Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Well, bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Amen. Well, saints, we have been having a wonderful time with you in discussing our God-given spiritual gifts, our God-given gifts. And it really, really has been a lot of fun. And I love the text messages that I get afterwards or the phone calls that I get. I thank God for the light bulbs that are going off. It's so, so good. So just keep on going on. We're on, I believe this is our third one, I think. I think our third or fourth. It is a third. Okay, praise God. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be doing the Exalter today. That's who we are going to be talking about. We'll be going over the 20 characteristics of the Exalter and 5 areas of concern. in dealing with an exalter. Last week we dealt with the teacher, and we know that the teacher, praise God, does things according to the head. They like to research. They want to find out information and so forth. So they operate, you know, going more for the head. The exalter aims for your heart. It's not so much the content that the exalter wants to input as to how that content can be made effective in your life. That is what interests the exalter. The exalter makes conversations and teaching more palatable, more interesting. Every gift can teach. Every gift can teach. Every person is not gifted to be a teacher, but every gift can teach. Just like everybody can prophesy, but not everybody is a prophet. And it's the same thing here. Everyone can teach, but the exalter has a tendency to make it very interesting. Their efforts are put towards edifying and encouraging other people. And that is the main thing. I was sharing with someone even this morning that I remember back and when I was married, the conversations that I used to have with my then husband, that he was more interested in the Bible from the Old Testament view, the history, the foundation, the building of things, the order, the chronological order of things, and so forth. That's what he was interested in. I was interested in the New Testament, the Good Samaritan, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. I need to know what it is I can do for a person right now today to help that person, you know, be better. How do we apply what we've learned? You know, so he wanted the history, I wanted application. And so when I was going over the characteristics, you know, it brought that back to memory. And that's one of the beauties in doing this. That's one of the beauties in doing this. As we go through this, you're going to see yourself. As we go through all seven of the gifting, you will find one that you say, oh, my God, that is me. So that's why I do that and so forth. Remember, these are motivational gifts. These are gifts that motivate you to do the things that you do. Think the way that you think, respond the way that you respond. This motivational gift, and this gift was put in you at conception. Tabika, do you remember the three categories of gifts we have?
Yes, ma'am. Motivational ministry, and I said it's the three M's, motivational ministry, and I'm getting stuck on the third one.
Motivational ministry and oh, that's terrible. That is terrible. Manifestation.
You know, I don't have my book. There it is. Manifestation. Yeah.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Manifestation. So your motivational gift is what motivates you. The ministerial gift is the fivefold ministry offices. That your motivational gift will help you to fit into one of those fivefold ministry offices. And then the manifestation gifts are gifts of the Spirit, those things, the speaking in tongues, the gift of healing and miracles, et cetera, et cetera. Not just gifts of the Spirit, I'm sorry, but these are gifts that are manifested spiritually. So three different types of gifts. We're focusing on one area as we do this study, on one area we're focusing in on. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. As you heard also, Minister Tabika, she's out of town, so thank God for technology where she can join us, but she does not have her book with her today. So she can't, She can't do part and I do part. So you'll hear me talking most of the time, but she will contribute, you know, at any spot that she chooses to contribute in. So just bless the Lord for her. So let's get started now. So the first thing about the exhorter is the fact that they love to encourage others to live up to their fullest potential. The exalter wants everyone to have a full and meaningful life. They are about building people. They help people, again, to live up to the fullest potential. And their greatest joy is being an instrument in helping others to live victoriously. The exalter is going to encourage you. They're going to do their best to motivate you. They'll work with you, helping you to get, you know, where you need to get. The exalter sees the positive side. The glass is half full. You know, that whatever your situation is, we can do this or you can do this with the Lord's help. That's the type of confidence that the exalter walks in, and this is what they try to get you to walk in when they're talking with you. You know that you can do all of these things and do them with the help of Christ and do them with the help of Christ. One of the stories that I liked here, and I want to read this story to you very quickly. What's her name? Katie that wrote the book. She said, one young man came out of Bible school eager to become an evangelist. In his first church, Martin kept trying to preach soul-winning sermons, but instead he drew in wayward believers who wanted to get their lives right with the Lord. The same happened in his second church. Believers were strengthened, lives were changed, people learned how to overcome problems. Everyone was built up. Then, this is what he said, then I learned about the motivational gifts. I saw that I was not an evangelist at all. I was an exalter with a teaching ministry. I was gifted to pastor and to build up the flock. They in turn could evangelize among the non-believers and bring them into the church. God had gifted me to edify the believers. What a relief it was to go ahead and be what God meant me to be. Praise be unto God. That right there just totally, totally excited me. You know, people will try to push off on you what they think you should do, what they think you should be, how you should react, and so forth and so on. But when you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, find out what it is and how he created you, the purpose that he created you for, you can go forth and be all that God has called you to be. Y'all hear me every week, you know, telling you that every Saturday before I get on this line, I play my song, Call to Be by Jonathan Nelson. Lord, I will be what you called me to be. Yes, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you called me to be, not what anybody else calls me to be. And that is such a joy. That is such a pleasure. And, you know, and in churches as pastors, you know, we have all these different missions or plans and programs and all these things trying to attract people. And in this last 4 years, you know, it's really been on, you know, we got these millennials out here and we got to attract the millennials. We got to attract the unbeliever, the non-unbeliever and unbelievers and non-believers. You know, that's what we got to go after and so forth and so on. And then if, as this pastor said, you know, that his sermons, we found out that it was believers that were attracted to what he had to say, because he was called to equip the believer. He was called to equip the believer. Not that he can't share testimony and cause a non-believer to be saved, but that's in the evangelism part of it. He was called to equip the folks. the sheep were supposed to go out and get the folks. And that took a burden off of him once he found out what it was that he was supposed to do. And I can testify to it. It makes a difference. Let's move on. The exalter wants a visible response when teaching or preaching. And I laugh at this one when I read it. I'm telling you, interaction, first of all, with their hearers is essential to the exalter. They watch the expression on people's faces. They listen for reactions, and they analyze their body language. They need to know that that they're really communicating. The most frustrating experience for an exalter is to share something of value with the person and then find out he or she wasn't even listening. I'm telling you, I was just trying to look. Yes, I do see my beloved on here. One of my, the longest member of New Vision, praise be unto God. She sits in the front row of the church and just about always has sat up close. And she's one of these people that is a listener, a listener. She listens and she watches. That's what she does. She listens and she watches. And my beloved would sit there on that front row, and she would stare at me the whole time that I am teaching or preaching, whichever one I was doing that morning. And then I was like, come on, I need some feedback. I need some feedback. And, you know, when she's one of my greatest supporters, And, you know, I had to talk to her. Baby, you're right there. You're in my face. You know, I need you to give me some feedback while I'm talking, because the more you talk back to me, and it's not necessarily talking to me, I'm good if you just nod your head, if you clap your hand, if you say an amen. You know, I'm good. I'm good. And so she had to come out of her comfort zone to encourage me some, but I also had to go to the place where I understand her way of operating as well and not put so much pressure on her to feed my need, And once we got that understanding, after we did the gift assessments and we got that understanding, we were able to function better, you know, in dealing with these things. And bless the Lord, it was something else, but I loved it. I truly, truly did love it. So a lack of response frustrates the exalter. Somebody doesn't want to hear what we're saying, well, we may as well not say it at all. So it's important, you know, that once you get to know the gifting of whether it's your pastor or any other speaker, if after you've studied this with us, if you realize that you're in front of an exalter, please give them some feedback. I'm telling you, please give them some feedback. And the one other quick thing, I remember my mother used to tell me when I was a young child, that any comedian and any speaker would love to have me in their audience, because I am definitely going to, you know, cheer you on. I'm going to encourage you. And of course, at that time, we knew nothing whatsoever about giftings. And then after I got older and began to speak in front of people, I realized, man, how important it was to me to have some feedback, facial expression and or body language verbally. It was important, because, I mean, I would lose it. If I didn't get any, I would lose it. I wouldn't want to say anything. I'm ready to cut this thing off quick, finish it. That's it. Beloved, was there anything you wanted to say? Yes?
Yes. I was just about to jump in. Let me just say first, if you guys hear the doggies barking in the background, I apologize. They're very loud this morning for whatever reason. But I wanted to agree with you about feedback when you're speaking as an exhorter. So it's like, for me, that this is one of my gifts, and it's in like the top three of my gifts. And the weird part about it is that I was shy, timid, and I didn't like speaking in front of people. And so when that spirit was broken off of me, with the help of my awesome apostle, when I had to stand in front of people and speak, and even though I may not say anything or make a big deal about it, I'm like you, like, I'm looking at all the faces, and I'm like, are they listening? Are they not listening? Am I saying something wrong? You know, am I not saying the right thing? And so then that makes me nervous, because nobody's making any type of facial expression. You know what I mean? Like, it's just eyes just looking back at you. And I'm like, oh goodness, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, God, please let somebody say something. Let somebody say an amen or something like
right?
that. But you right. know, but that's why I said that's the weird part, because, you know, before, none of that mattered. You know, I didn't mm-hmm. care if, you know, I could be in a group and for hours and not say one thing, and it didn't move me any. But people were looking at me like, what's wrong with her? You know, she not talking, she not saying anything, she stuck up, she this, she that. And now it's like, when I speak in front of people, you know, or say anything, it's like, can somebody just say something to me? Let me know that they hear me or something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when that doesn't happen, it kind of makes me a little nervous. And then I have to try to, like, calm myself down so I won't get off mm-hmm. track and just lose mm-hmm. my whole train of thought. So I understand what you're saying as far as, you know, when you're speaking in front of a group of people, and you mm-hmm. will every now and then say, hey, y'all, you know, help me out. Like, you know, I like feedback. I like to hear y'all talking back to me. And so, yes, you do every now and then remind us that you are the exhorter and you need that feedback from us mm-hmm. to, you know, just because that's part of your gift.
Amen, amen. I remember when I used to go out and do public speaking, and this was in secular, and I would do public speaking, and I would tell them in my introduction, I mean, after someone else introduced me and I would get up, I would tell them, look, y'all, I'm the pastor of a church and I'm used to feedback. So if you don't give me any feedback, I promise you, I will take an offering up right in the middle of what we're saying. And the folks were like, oh my God, you know, like, are you serious? But that was my little, you know, thing, you know, a pastor needs some feedback. So, and not all do, you know, because not everybody got that crazy personality of the exalted. Okay, let's move on. The other thing is that the exalted prefers to apply truth rather than research it. Okay, before we move on, I started to say Minister Joyce, and that's who she is. Good morning, beloved. How are you, sweetheart?
Fantastic. Thank you. I just have a question mm-hmm. because I'm always
sure.
in that area where when the exhorter or whoever is speaking, and I'm mm-hmm. trying to connect with what you say, and so I have mm-hmm. a serious look on my mug, okay,
yes.
because I'm an avid
yes.
note taker, and I've got this
yes.
serious look, and I'm looking at you, and I'm really trying to get what you're saying, but I'm
mm-hmm.
not, you know, I'm not giving you what you need because I'm trying to get what I'm trying to get. And I
Absolutely.
Just ask, how do you help me? Because I'm trying to connect with what you're saying. I'm looking at your body language and
right.
the whole nine yards. But I'm not giving you what you need. And do I fake it till I make it? You know, do I just give you what you need and hope that we'll catch up with each other at the end? And I feel hypocritical, like a hypocrite, if I do that.
If
and
you
so
do
it's
that.
Kind of. And that's why I'm loving what we're doing with these gifts, so thank you. But I had
amen,
to add that
amen.
Because I'm not the only one that's sitting there with a serious look because we're trying to capture what you're
mm-hmm.
saying because I
mm-hmm.
haven't quite got it yet. I haven't got it. Okay.
Right. And that's very important, Joyce, and thank you, honey, for bringing that out, and that's very important because of the fact that this is why everybody ought to go through these. Those exalters that are speaking – once we understand the different gifts, we can look in the audience and tell of the teacher or the server, you know, that is doing that, the note-taking person, okay? The person that's sitting there staring at you. There's a difference of somebody looking at you with a blank face and, like, you know, there's nothing going on inside of there, or someone who's looking at you and you can tell they're looking and watching every word that drops out of your mouth. okay? That's part of now the exalter reading the body language. You know, so I have learned that if the person is doing that, they are just as excited and trying to hear and trying to connect as the person on the other side of the room that's yelling, amen, hallelujah, you preach, sister, whatever the case may be, raising a hand. You know, two different ways of expressing it, yet you both are giving something back. But I had to learn that people like you, people like the minister from our church that I was talking about, I had to learn that this was them saying, okay, I'm hearing this, I'm getting it, I'm trying to get it, whatever the case, and let them be comfortable in that spot. And once in a blue moon, just nod ahead. Just nod your head. When the light bulb goes off, you know, when the person is talking and you get something, a quick nod of the head or you know, something that indicates I got it. So does that help any? Joyce?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Amen.
And I am very guilty sometimes, very guilty. I'm true confession. Sometimes my pastor is preaching, and I look over at his wife to see her body language while he's saying something. And so I'm very guilty of that because I hear what he's saying, but I'm looking at her, and that's being judgmental. But it is a truth. It is a truth. And I'm about truth.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's true. That is very true. And that's something, too, that I learned years ago. Wow, that's something that you brought that out years ago, you know, that when there's a couple, you know, that's the pastors of your church, and whichever spouse is preaching, check out the spouse that's listening, that's watching. And you watch their body language, and you'll see if they're smiling and encouraging the person, or the person, the pastor is preaching something, and they're scoffing at it. Yeah, right. Why don't you try that at home yourself? You know, that type of attitude. And yes, so we do that. we do that. But let me say this, and this is for all of us. Quick little antidote, I guess you can call it. When this pastor had gone to a church to preach, and there was a little old lady in the church. She was the mother of the church, and she was forever, amen, hallelujah. And the man that had come to preach was somebody that had been found out that was having an affair, something on that order. But this pastor of this church still allowed him to speak. And after the old mother was, amen, praise the Lord, you know, hallelujah. Other people in the church were real disgusted about it. And afterwards, you know, someone pulled her up and said, how is it, mother, that you can praise the Lord when brother so-and-so was speaking and you know how he is and da-da-da-da-da, you know, pulling up all of these negative traits he has. And she said, when our pastor preaches, I look at him and I see God in him and I'm able to praise the Lord. When somebody like that preaches, I look past him and I still see the Lord. And so the thing is to keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on the Lord. No matter where this message is coming from, let's focus on Christ. Every single one of us, 9 out of 10 times, can get something out of whatever is being preached if we take our minds off the person and just hear the Father. Just hear the Spirit of God and forget about who is bringing forth the word for that moment. So, but there are times when we have to make some judgment calls on some things. But, you know, that's just one of the things I learned to do. There's been times when I've seen females that are ministering, and they're not dressed appropriately. And I'm not one to talk about people, how they dress and so forth and so on, you know, but there are things that when I say dress inappropriately, you know, your stuff is falling all out of your clothes, you know, your underwear showing, you know, this, that, and the other and so forth. And I just close my eyes. Because they may be able to sing beautifully, you know. They may be preaching an awesome word, and I can't get into the word and get into anything because I'm looking at them. I just close my eyes and just hear in the spirit, and it makes it easier for me to, you know, to deal with what I'm dealing with. So those are just some little tidbits on how to deal with the audience and or your speaker. All righty.
I thank you, Apostle. I thank you, and I receive that. I really thank
Amen.
You.
Oh, thank
and keep
you.
Me in prayer.
I got you, baby. I got you. I got you. Amen. Amen. We have, hold on here. I was hoping you would speak up. Good morning, beloved. How are you this morning? Suprina? Hello?
Hi, I'm here. I'm praying my phone does not die on me.
Okay.
I'm the person who you spoke about earlier, the one
yes.
who sits in the front seat. So it took a lot of work within me to be able to get to that place, but it is possible. It is possible to come out of that, because I'm an observer, and I am taking and I'm painting the picture as you are speaking. So when I look at you, I'm looking at you very intensely. But I've learned throughout the years to nod ahead, to give an amen here and there. Sometimes I'm even praying in the spirit. So I know a lot of people, I know of people who say, you know, they look at the spouse when the person is preaching. Like my husband preaches periodically. And if someone were to look at me, you wouldn't be able to know what was going on with me. Because as he's speaking, I'm covering him in the spirit. You know, and sometimes when that is happening, I forget to do the nod. Or I forget to say the amen because of how I'm wired. But it is definitely possible to be able to come from that place of just staring. I think the scripture was staring like a deer in headlights. But I'm really taking in every word that a person is saying and processing that word and processing it to my life as the word is being said. But you are definitely able to be an encourager for an exhorter when you're not in that space through practice.
Amen, amen. And you better change your phone because I hear it, you know, slightly breaking in, you know, as you're speaking. So get yourself ready, okay, for your phone. I want you back if yours die. You come back on. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, I knew that she was on when I was sharing that information with you about her sitting in the front row, and I was hoping that she would come. And then after Joy said what she said, I'm like, Suprina, come on, because I know you have been able to help through this. But we've learned a lot about each other's style, and it helps. So that's another good one. See, for all you exalters out there, the people that are sitting and staring at us are not non-committing. They are committed. They are committed. So we have to learn how to adjust as well, like I said. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. All righty. So y'all hear this all this time, and we only got to number three. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Anyway, the exalter prefers to, they prefer to apply truth rather than research it. Research is not the exalter's cup of tea. He or she avoids it if at all possible. When I read these next few words, I laughed to myself because it's what I say. Why reinvent the wheel? If there's something out here that somebody has already researched, packaged it up and so forth, why am I going to go do that? Give it to me and let me teach it. As simple as that. Give it to me, I will teach it. You know, somebody else has already put in all the work that is in there. And again, this helps me, you know, not to feel guilty about me not having a desire, you know, to spend hours doing research, even though because of the position I walk in, you know, I have to do that on a lot of things. I have to do a lot of the research myself. But all in all, that is not the Exalter's cup of tea. There's a woman that writes books, and she mentions how she has her teacher friend goes forth and does all of the research. And the woman that's writing the book, she's the Exalter. So the teacher friend does all the research for, brings it to her, and then she's able to put it down, you know, and organize it in the steps and the process that she wants it to be in her book, and she goes ahead and writes the book. And she talked about how together they make a great team. Each of them are doing what they love to do. Her friend loves the research, and she loves taking the facts and writing about them in practical ways. And I shared with y'all last week how Teresa did that for me. You know, she would do the research. I tell her what it is I'm looking to do. She would do the research. She would organize all the stuff and so forth, give it to me, and I'd go out and present it, and I was the hero. You know, I was the hero. We are thankful for the people that God gives us to work in the background to help us to go out and be the people that we need to be. I'm telling you, no matter how excited we are as Exalters, we need a lot of support. We need a lot of support to help us to get where we need to get or to do what it is we need to do. Okay, the next one. Prefers the kind of information that has practical application. I'm not going to explain that. I already did that when I told you about how my ex-husband and I, how we operated. So the Exalters love, again, applying what it is we're learning. How do I help you now? They're the ones that will write self-help books, or how to do such and such a thing. Exalters love to hear other Exalters teach, you know, because you hear how I am right now, boy, and if I have someone in front of me teaching, you know, the same type of way that I am, boy, we would be, yeah, amen, you know, back and forth. We love to hear each other speak. And too much fact for an Exalter and not enough act is frustrating to the Exalter. Don't keep telling me about this. I want to see you do some of that. Apply it. And so that is something that's very important. So they like practical application. Listen, all of you that have Exalter spouses, children, friends, employers, employees, if you want to get them something for a gift, get them an application Bible, life application Bible. The life application does just that. It takes the scriptures that are there and applies them to your life. You know, and that's some of the problems that people have in reading the Bible. They say, you know, I read it, I don't understand it, I don't know how it applies to me, you know, what's the use of reading it? Get a life application Bible. It will help you to understand how the scripture that you're reading applies to life. It will ask you questions about yourself dealing with the scriptures that you just read so that you can apply it to your life. So I do, encourage you to do that. All righty. The next one. Loves to prescribe precise steps of action to aid personal growth. Exalters love to give specific steps for people to follow. They know how to instruct others to get from A to C. They give constructive and helpful advice. I'm sorry, constructive and helpful advice, especially when we're counseling. We love to say, okay, honey, do this, do that, and do the other. And if you do those things prayerfully, we will see the breakthrough that we need to see. And an exalted doesn't want to just teach something or preach something without telling you how to accomplish something. Remember, the first gift is they want to see you live your fullest life. They want to see that happen for you. No matter what you're going through, the exalted believes out of this good will come, and they want to encourage you to be the best that you can be. So praise be unto God. The next one is a focus on working with people. Exalters are people. They are not interested in working with things or systems or abstract ideas. They love to be around people, doing things with people or for people. They are your people persons, absolutely 100% of the time. And when people know this, and this is for the person that is the exalter and for the person that employs people, human resource, and so forth and so on, beloved, you do not want to put an exalter on, an assembly line in a factory. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put an exalter. You don't want to put an exalter, you know, where they're working mostly with machines and so forth, and not having that people contact. Now, let me say this. There's always the, There's always the exception to the rule. I know that there's some people that tech people, and tech people normally are very good at isolating themselves, working by themselves. They don't need to be around a bunch of people and so forth and so on. Very good at doing that. But if their gifting, their top three gifting, is encouraging or exalting or motivating, if that falls in those top three or four giftings, you may find a person that loves to do those isolated jobs still being an encourager to someone else. You know, they can encourage people still just the same. But the exalter, that isolated person can go and they can encourage others. The exalter does not want to sit at a computer doing computer work or being on an assembly line. And again, like I said, exception to every rule, they don't want to do that. They have to have physical, personal action with people. And that's the wonder in doing these things. I'm telling you, when you know that about somebody, you know, in fact, I applied for a job long, long time ago. Man, I was maybe 20 years ago. So that was long, long time ago. And I wanted a job at night. I had two children at that time, husband working during the day, so I was home with the kids. I wanted to do something. I applied for a job that was two blocks away from me and got the job, and it was in a factory. So I was at a machine, threading whatever it was I was threading, I lasted in that position 2 days. The second day, I went home for lunch, and I never got back up and went back to that job. I mean, I couldn't talk to anybody and so forth, and y'all hear all the talking I'm doing now. And can you imagine me, you know, like these are people that talk. I end up talking to myself because I had to hear something. I leave my TV and radio on, you know, in the house, so when I come in, somebody's already talking to me. You know, so these are some of the crazy things. But again, when you know these about the personalities, you'll be more careful in what positions you're putting people in your job, in the ministry, et cetera. Knowing these giftings help you to place people properly. And the person that knows their gift will also understand the type of employment or career that they should have. You know, because their gifting, that motivational gift, clues you into that. It really does. It equips you and prepares you to be in what God would have you to be and what he created you can do to do. And you can have the gift of the exalted, and there may be 20 gifts, 20 areas of employment or ministry that you can function in. There may be 20. Don't go for the one that's not where you're supposed to be. Don't go for that one. Praise God. Beloved, is there anything you want to say at this time, sweetheart?
Yes, ma'am. So when you talked about the job that you applied for and you went that one day and didn't go back, I was laughing because I had a job that I worked at home. And it was like still in the same field of pharmacy. However, I got to the point where I got tired of being home. I was like, I don't have anybody to talk to. And while others may be like, you gave up a job where you could work from home to go to a job where you actually had to drive and you had to buy gas and you actually had to get up and go there. And I was like, yeah, because at first it was cool. You know, at first it was cool. But then I found myself, you know, when I should have been at the computer, I would sleep. And when the phone rang, I would jump up to get the phone and had to play it off like I wasn't asleep. I'm like, okay, this is not for me anymore. So I decided to go back, you know, to the actual building. But you're right. And on the flip side, because of my personality, sometimes I don't want to talk. You know, sometimes I want to be by myself, reading my books or writing or doing something. So there are times when I really don't want to talk. But, you know, that every day, you know, I was like, I can't do this. I got to go back to work. I love it. You know, it's a good thing. I don't got to go into the building. I can just get up. You know, I don't have to buy gas. I don't have to buy lunch and blah, blah, blah. But after a while, I was like, I can't do this anymore. So you're right about we have to be around people because we have to, our middle names are excited. And that's what I have in my phone about. When your name pops up, when you call me, it says, Apostle, I'm so excited, Banks.
Amen. 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 To God be the glory. So for those that are exalters, and we had to go through this pandemic, if you were in a house with people, you know, praise be unto God. But honey, be an exalter and having to go through this pandemic, you live alone, by yourself, no one to talk to, blah, 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 blah. This has been a trying time for us. This has been a trying time. To God be the glory. All righty, we're going to move on here. And, never mind. Okay, all righty. Number 7, they encourage others to develop their personal ministries. Exalters wants everyone to develop a full and fruitful ministry. They understand well the concept of the body of Christ with each member functioning to the benefit of others. They want this ideal realized in practice. And a pastor who is an exalter will eagerly develop lay leadership and ministries. Yes, we want everybody to be involved and work and do what it is that they are gifted to do, So you'll find that. I remember the church that we came out of, our pastor, you know, everybody that joined the church, now they were saying, okay, let's find a team for them to work with instantly. And that was more for retention than anything else. Get the person involved in something. And so if they're involved, you know, they've got something to want to come back for as they're growing and so forth. And the exalter definitely wants everyone, again, to operate at their fullest potential, equip people, you know, to do what it is they need to do and do the ministry that you are anointed to do. Everybody has ministry in them. And people, listen, don't be afraid every time you hear the word ministry. Ministry does not mean you preaching the word of God. That is not all it is when it says ministry, okay? When you go out and you feed the and work with the homeless and so forth, that's ministry. You don't have to step into a pulpit to be a minister. When you go to hospitals and visit people in a nursing home, that's ministry. Look for you mechanics. When you service my car, that is ministry. You know, everything that we're doing, we're ministering one to the other. Do not take it for granted. God created each one of us with an assignment in life, and that assignment is our ministry. Your assignment is the answer to somebody's problem. Your assignment is a solution to something in somebody's life. It is ministry. And so the exalter wants to encourage you to be whatever it is God has called you to be. If he called you to be a football player, be the best doggone football player out there. Still acknowledge God, still pray. Still, if you go into a church, pay your tithes and offering, still attend the church and so forth, but be the best football player that you can be. If you're a chef, whatever the case may be the best that you can be, because God has equipped you, beloved. He has placed in you what you need in order to be what he's called you to be. Our daddy has never asked us to be something and that we could not be. Daddy did not set us up for failure. He did not set us up for failure, beloved. So whatever it is he's called us to be, let's go forth and do our very best at being that. Now, the exalter finds truth in experience and then validates it with scripture. Ha, ha, ha. Remember when we talked about the perceiver, the prophet, and so forth? They're going to have the scripture and then validate what you're going through in life. The exalter, they feel that life is a lesson, is a great big lesson. It's full of lessons and insights. And when they go through something, they'll then check the Bible to confirm or to tell them what they should have gone or what they should have done in the process. So they check the Bible to see what it has to say on the subject that they're dealing with or the circumstances that they're dealing with. And they're always glad to find that it is in the Bible. They're always glad to find it. Exalters discover truth by finding out experientially that something works. So that's the difference between your exalter and the perceiver. An exalter loves to do personal counseling. Hear, hear, hear. Of all the seven motivational gifts, exalters are the ones most gifted in and frequently drawn to counseling. They are naturals for it. People sense the ability of the exalter, their caring concern, their interest in helping, their approachability. These are all things that you will see in the exalter that is counseling. You will find, praise be unto God, you'll notice this even in children. You know, one child will go and tell the other child of a problem that they're having, and that exalter child will say, come on, Sally, you can do this. We can take care of this. You know, you can see it in a child. You were a teenager in school, and everybody came to you with their problems. You know, they came as you got older. You would meet somebody one time, and before you know it, they're pouring out their whole entire life to you. You know, their troubles, and you're thinking, man, you don't even know me. How are you telling me all this stuff about you? Because they sense your ability, they sense how much you care, you know, your interest in helping people. They sense this. People love the approachability that an exalter has. Also, as counselors, exalters are very transparent about their own problems and how they've worked through them. And when they do that, the counselee easily identifies with that. The exalted have this ability to share what they've been through, tell how they've overcome, and then encourage someone else that they can do the same. That they can do the same. Do you know, beloved, that most of the time when we are given our testimonies, we're not only telling, hallelujah, what we've been in, but how God brought us through, how we got over or we overcame. And then that in itself is encouraging to someone else that has gone through. This is why we should not keep testimonies all to ourselves. And it's easier for an exalter to do it. Those that are extremely private, don't want to share anything, they're not going to tell you stuff, you know, and be as transparent as the exalter is. But that helps other people as you are sharing your testimony. And that testimony, of course, ends up, you know, that there was a solution to it. There was an answer. God came through. God had my sister come through for me. You know, God had my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my wife, my boss, whatever the case, God had the neighbor next door come through for me. So whatever the case may be, you know, be able to share what it is. We are easily able to admit to our sins and our sorrows, to our pains and our pitfalls. And I tell you, we are easily able to do so. It's harder to do so when you are the pastor, because you got everybody looking up to you to be, you know, okay. In fact, I was sharing with someone the other day, and you know, we were talking about breakthroughs, and they were telling me they got a breakthrough, and I said, yeah, I got a breakthrough too, and I really needed that. And they said, really? I never realized that you needed a breakthrough too. Then she said, well, I guess pastors need that as well. Yes, we do. We do need that, you know, but people have a tendency of looking at you in a way, you know, that you can't make a mistake, you know, you don't go through stuff, you know, just it's crazy. And because I am normally, I'm so excited, you know, they don't think that I have any problems. I don't, Tabika.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Tell them I got problems. I may smile and laugh 90% of the time, but I got problems.
Yes, and we all do because we're humans. You know, I think when people think that pastors, apostles, you know, bishops, titles that they don't have any problems, because I from our side we're looking at how you always help. Mm-hmm. How you're always mm-hmm. encouraging, how you're always exhorting, how you're always, you know, giving different ideas and stuff, or scriptures. When it comes to the Word of God, you're feeding us the Word of God. And I think sometimes we forget that you're human just like we are. And so sometimes we get to the point where we're taking from you and we're not pouring back into you. And so you know, you're basically helping us with your problems, but then it's like, you know, where is the person that helps you with yours? And we know that first and foremost, it's the Lord, it's our Father that's going to pull you through any and everything. But we all want that person that we can actually talk to that is close to the Lord. And so, you know, yes, you still have your problems, you still have your issues. No, you're not perfect. And, you know, on behalf of us, you know, the sheep, we apologize, beloved. We apologize.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, goodness. Okay, the exalter is fluent in communications. The exalters are the mouth of the body with the greatest facility in speech of any other gift, So as y'all have heard this morning, we are talkers. We are talkers. It is not surprising that many exalters become teachers, preachers, counselors, supervisors, even radio announcers, or TV host fields that require giftedness of speech. You see, and again, God equipping us. He's equipping us. That gift he gave us, there'll be occupations, careers that complement the gift that he has placed in us. So it's no mistake, you know, like it is no mistake, you know, that I'm in the preaching field. I wanted to be a teacher when I was younger, okay? I wanted to teach. Teachers, exalters, I always counsel. I remember counseling when I was 7 and 8 years old. I've done counseling all my life. Every single job I was in, except for that factory job, I have been a supervisor. Here, I have been a radio announcer, not just hosting this radio show. I worked at a radio station, you know, where I was a radio announcer. I've done TV. You know, these are fields that require giftedness in speeching. And when I get that right, I'll do better in all of these things. Amen, amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. And as you can see, y'all, too, it's taking me longer to get through this gift. I wish Tabika had her book so she could have been doing this. It's taking me longer to get through this gifting because I'm a talker, and I can talk about each one of these things because this is me. So y'all bear with me, babies. Bear with me. Okay. We view trials as opportunities to produce personal growth. Tabika, what is my favorite scripture?
Your favorite scripture? Scripture is Romans 8:28.
8:28. Now listen to this, y'all. Listen to this first sentence under here, that we view trials as opportunities to produce personal growth. Exalters unquestionably believe Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I didn't know that was in the book, okay? I didn't know why I liked that verse. I just know that every time something goes wrong in my life, I believe this scripture, that all things are working together for the good. Saints of God, even the state of this country, it's got to work together for our good, for those that love God, and for those who are called according to his purpose. We refuse to accept the word impossible when it comes to anything in dealing with what the Lord says. Let me see. For with God, nothing is impossible. That's Luke 1:37, y'all, for those of you that need that. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And then there's Matthew 17:20, another one. Well, these three, these are great scriptures. These are scriptures I love. This one here is, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Matthew 17:20. Exalters see opportunities, not obstacles, challenges, not trials, possibilities, not problems. And that's exactly the way it is. Even look, y'all, even when we're doing this book, when we finish the 20 characteristics, the positive characteristics, you know, the next thing we do is the 5 challenges of whatever gift we're dealing with. In the book, it says the problems of an exalter. I can't even say that. You know, when it said the problems of the teacher, as I'm teaching this to you, you don't hear me saying the problems. I say the challenges, because to me, it's not a problem. It's a challenge. There's an area in our lives that we are challenged with. It's not a problem. When we do our recap church services and so forth, or even in business meetings, we start off, okay, what did we do good? And we talk about the good things that we did. And then somebody else may say, okay, what did we do wrong? No. I say, What things can we improve on? And you see the difference that that's how, man, instead of me walking up to him, man, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. You shouldn't have done that way. You know, baby, look, we can do this better. Let's try this and so forth and so on. These are things that we can improve on and so forth. And do that, not that this is a problem. So, you know, again, as I had to read this stuff for our lesson today, it just refreshed me to remind me of who I really am. And I apologize to anybody that I have hurt your feelings, you know, because of the fact that, you know, I'm here, there, you know, so much and so forth and so on, that there are times I miss it. There are times that I miss it. You know, because when somebody, I'm looking at this, you come to me with a problem, and it's a problem to you. It's a problem. And I'm thinking, no, honey, this is a possibility. This is, and so you may not think that I'm taking what it is that you're dealing with. I'm not taking it serious, and I am taking it serious. I'm just seeing it from a totally different point of view. So, you know, if I've ever done that to you, I ajalapize and seriously apologize. Amen. The what is it? The exalter accepts people as they are without judging them. While perceivers see people as either in the will of God or out of the will of God, nothing in between, exalters are just the opposite. They don't see extreme at all, only a vast gray area where everyone is somewhere along the way. No one has arrived. No one is a complete failure, but everyone is at a point in life where a few well-chosen steps will bring him or her that much closer to God's will, to God's will. Therefore, the exalter does not see any need to judge people for where they are or where they're not, but rather they see the need to help them take those steps in the right direction. It is this non-judgmental attitude that enables him or her to help people out so much, so much. So you see that the exalter, though, they accept you as you are. You're imperfect. They're imperfect. However, they expect you to take their advice and do the things that's necessary to change. A mature Christian is loving, forgiving, and accepting. Let me say that again. Loving, forgiving, and accepting. These are characteristics of a true Christian, and exalters are good in all three of those. So it is easy to open up to someone like that, to an exalter. If you hurt them, they are willing and able to forgive, and normally very quickly. They are accepting of you just the way you are, and truly their love is genuine. It's hard for an exalted to be a fake lover. It is really hard for them. They love you just where you are and will do whatever they can to help you to get better. Number 14. They are well-liked because of his or her positive attitude. There's this old song that goes, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In-Between. And they said that song must have been written by an exalter. Exalters are extremely positive, you know, in their attitude about life, about things, period. If you got a bunch of lemons, make lemonade, okay? Don't cry over it. Make lemonade out of it. Whatever it is that you are doing, understand that the exalter is all, let me say, because nothing is always, because every gift can be, what's the word, their second gifts can have influence on how the first gift operates. But exalters are normally going to see the positive side of everything. They're normally going to see, they're going to see a way for it to work. God has given them insight. They believe that it can work out. All the marriages that I've done, bless the Lord, And all the marriages that I've done, I tell them, look, y'all, I don't do divorce, even though I've been divorced twice. I don't do divorce. When I put my seal on this with the seal of God, I'm expecting this marriage to last forever. And if it you have problems, don't be afraid to come to me and let's see what we can do to work it out. Let's see what we can do. I want you as a couple to reach your fullest potential. We don't want the enemy to win in this. And then there are just some marriages that aren't going to work no matter what you do with them. There's just some that aren't going to work. But let's put our best effort forward. I believe just about everything, you know, can be worked out. Just about. There's some things, no. Like if you do things to my children that you had no business doing to my children, no, you got to go. Okay? So there's some things you have to say no to. Okay, they prefer to witness with his or her life rather than verbal witnessing. Exalters can witness verbally, and they do, but they believe they must live the Christian life in order to be credible. We need to walk our talk, one exalter said candidly, and to them, faith must be demonstrated in practical ways in daily life. And I'm telling you, that is so true. I used to say, and I probably should start saying it again and say it more often, and Elder West can say it better than I can say it, the fact that, you know, go forth and witness, and, you know, as we are going about our lives, go forth and witness every day, and every once in a while, open your mouth. Now, if you're cool, you know, and you can hear that, go forth and witness. And the minute we think about witnessing, we're thinking about telling people about the Lord. Now listen to what I said. Go forth and witness every day. And every once in a while, open your mouth. In other words, your life is your testimony, your walk, how you're living. People are looking at that. They'll see that and hear that louder than anything you have to say. They will see that and hear that louder. That's just like when Lady Joyce said, you know, when the preacher's preaching, I'm looking at his wife because he's the one that's opening his mouth and talking. But how she's responding to him is speaking louder sometimes than what he has to say. You know, you can be out in the street and well, you're preaching a pulpit, you're preaching, you know, hallelujah, praise be unto God. Let's love one another. Let's do this, that, and the other, and so forth. And you come right out of the pulpit, and you step over a homeless person in the street that needed help. You know, you go to the nearest bar that you can get to, or to the nearest hotel that you can get to, and people are seeing you do this. Or you're standing on a corner smoking a cigarette and you're cussing. Okay. Now, I see you doing all of that. I heard what you said in the pulpit, but I see you doing all of that. Now, which one of those do you think I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe it or not, what I saw quicker than what I heard you say. So your lifestyle, your life is a witness. It is a testimony unto the world. It is. My sister and I were talking about how at one time, our attitude was, you know, it doesn't matter what people think about me. I'm just going to be me. And to a degree, that's right, depending on what it is you're just going to be you about. There's certain things, it doesn't matter what they think. You know, the church may think that I got no business at this old age going out in the street witnessing. It doesn't matter that they think about that. I'm going to go do that because that's what God told me to do. That doesn't matter. But when I'm creeping and when I'm doing this, that, and the other, and the church is watching, it does matter what they think, which causes me to live my life according to the word as much as I can, you know, not slipping up and doing things. And then when I do slip, praise be unto God, there's supposed to be a whole bunch of saints out here that's praying and covering me. You know, so babies, I mean, all of this, it all, here I go, see, it all works together. It all works together. It all works together. Exalters, makes decisions easily. Decision making comes naturally and easily to most exalters. That's why part of that is the reason why they do counseling. For them, life is too short to be indecisive. They are an action person. They make their decisions based on what they know at the time. Let's decide and get on with it is how we think. Let's decide and get on with it. And if I'm wrong in a decision, God will correct us. Somebody on the team will correct us. And guess what? We back up, we punt, and we start all over again. As simple as that. You know, as simple as that as far as the exalter is concerned. They always complete what started. Challenge, that's one of my challenges. I can start too many things at one time and don't get them all completed. Similar to the serving gift, the exalted does not like unfinished work or uncompleted projects. They finish the letters that they started. They work overtime to complete an assignment at the office. I do. They burn the midnight oil to complete a Bible study assignment. I do. You know, so I don't like things being uncompleted, but I can tell you that I will start so many things that something is going to be left undone. Something. Okay. Now, they want to clear up conflicts with others quickly. Oh, my gosh. Exalters do not like strained relationships. They go immediately to the other person to find out what's wrong. If necessary, they will even take the blame in order to build the bridge to restore a relationship. This characteristic for me shows up in my life often. I hate being in where the relationship is strained. I want a reconciliation, ASAP. I have taken the blame for something I know that I didn't do, but I've taken the blame for something in order, you know, to close the gap up so that we can come back together, so that we can come back together. It concerns me, you know, and when you have a person that loves and that love is genuine, the strained relationship, you know, that's a part of me that's missing. It's a part, and I want to be put all together, you know. So, yes, they do this. And it's the same way in work, you know, when you have a job and the exalter is the supervisor, we take the blame for whatever went wrong with the team. And any good boss is supposed to do that. You know, you may penalize the person that did it, but then when you, as a supervisor, report to your boss, you take the blame because you're responsible for that team. You're responsible for that team. So when people that I deal with in church, in families where there's discord, I want to help them and myself to come together quickly and resolve the issue. See, I'm a thing. I got this thing about hating to see Satan win, and I hate to see him win. I hate it with a passion, and I believe any time that relationships that are strained, you know, where there were good relationships, an issue, a concern, or something separated the two, and this is something that you know that this relationship, this is something God put together, and you're letting something separate you, I believe Satan is winning at that, and I hate to see him win. I hate to see him win. So once again, beloved, I encourage you all, please reconcile where you can reconcile. Get rid of conflict in your job, in your marriage, with your children, with your friends, you know, your neighbors, whatever the case may be. Please resolve the conflict. Please resolve it. 19, they expect a lot of themselves and others. We do. Each of us have a comfort zone area. We operate in it without challenge. It's easy to just stay there, but the exalter doesn't believe that God's perfect will, doesn't believe that that's God's perfect will for us. We believe that God wants us to venture out into the unknown and do things we didn't think that we could do. Babies Exalters are a lot of entrepreneurs, multi-level network marketing, all kinds of own your own businesses, that's your entrepreneur and so forth, risk takers and so forth. They're the ones to go, and they're the ones that will go and do that. Number 20, they need a sounding board for bouncing off. They need a sounding board for bouncing off ideas and thoughts. Exalters often think with their mouths. Help me, Jesus. And that's me. They often think with their mouths. They like to verbalize a thought aloud so they can hear how it sounds. It's as though they're trying the idea on for size to see if it fits. They can do it. They can then do their own analyzing. A sounding board is basically passive. So I've learned that that's the reason why God created man with one mouth and two ears. So we need sounding boards. I will call Tabika and say, look, baby, let me just run this by you and see what's what. And I run it by her. You know, other friends that I have, you know, I need to talk to, just need to talk it out. I'm not even asking them to give me a solution, not asking for advice, but I need to hear it, and I need to, you know, I need to say it to someone that has a listening ear, and if there is some advice or anything that's needed, they may be able to do so. So very quickly, in the next 4 minutes here, the challenges of the Exalter. I'm going to say these very quickly. The challenges of the Exalter. They tend to interrupt others in eagerness to give opinions or advice. Yes, and that's a challenge for a counselor, because a counselor has to listen. Yet the Exalter are the best counselors. So you know that this is a challenge, because we want to immediately jump in and fix this thing for you. Okay, the second thing is they will use scripture out of context in order to make a point. The Exalter believes it is the point he or she is making that is important, and their minds verifying it with scripture is secondary. Of those who hear the Exalters, many will not bother to check to prove the text. Not so with teachers and perceivers. Oh, they're going to check it out in the scripture. And Tabika, just hearing that part right there was one of the things I always say in church about what am I talking about?
The study. You tell us always the study. Anything that you give us, you know, whether it be Bible study or Sunday morning, whatever you give and you share with us, you always tell us to go back and read it for ourselves and study it for ourselves, and not, you know, always take your word, but to study the word for ourselves.
Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, because guess what, baby? As most of you think that I am fantabulous and all that good stuff, I am imperfect, and I make mistakes. I make mistakes. So, yes, that could be even in coming and teaching you some things, I may err. Check it out yourself and find out what's what. The third thing is we may be cut and dried in prescribing steps of action. Yes, this gift of the exhortation, we're good at giving advice. We're good at putting it in steps. Do this, do this, do this. And I'm telling you, if you don't do it, we're one of those people that if I'm counseling you and I see that you are not going to follow the steps, you know, if I see that you're not going to do it, I wash my hands of it. I will still love you. I will still be there for you when you're ready, you know, to do with what. But don't waste my time. Don't have me doing all the research that I have to do to put together a plan for you, give you the plan, and then you not do anything with it. That really bothers me. And the next thing here, you know, that we're outspokenly opinionated. Exalted will always be glad to tell you what they think. Oh, man. Always glad to tell you what they think. You know, there's no problem in us sharing that. And they can become overly self-confident. Well, I can honestly say I don't feel that that's one of my challenges. I don't think I'm overly self-confident. I just believe I'm confident enough to do what it is I have to do. Babies, we have truly, you know, with that extra half hour that I've been giving us for these teachings, we have come to the end of our time. We got it all in. I love you guys and thank God for you. I thank God again for my co-host, all of you that are regulars. I thank the Lord for you being with us. And I do pray that you will come back again next Saturday morning, bring a guest with you, and we will be talking about the characteristics of the giver. Come and find out why you give or don't give and why you do it the way that you do it. I love you. Take care. Tabika, my love, have an awesome, awesome weekend, the rest of it, and God bless you. Thank you, my love.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.